You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast. And join me on the other line because we decided we wanted to see each other more or do more shows together is a guy who did not throw a three-point shot off the front side of the backboard in an important game seven, Mr. Tony East. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good. As a giant Paul George fan, I was disappointed that he did not play well, and that is putting it nicely.
Well, game seven, yeah. As the host of a Pacer podcast, I'm obligated to just tease Paul George.
I know, it's our job.
His terrible play because
Alex Golden had a good tweet. He said Larry Bird was right that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could not lead the Pacers to the conference finals.
I don't know. I mean, it's just year one. It's a weird year. If they actually stick together another year.
It's Pacers fans' job to get the slander off while they can.
Listen, we were doing it before, right? We think Paul George has won like seven or nine. I think he's won nine playoff games. Then they won three in Oklahoma City, two against Utah and then one against Portland. Or maybe reverse that. Something like that, one against Utah, two against, but like nine versus four in the past 4 years. I mean, that's not a huge difference.
Yeah, not that good.
Versus the Pacers, so not a huge difference, frankly.
Adam, we held off as long as we could on Locked On Pacers this offseason. I think we've made it a month since the last game, or almost a month. I don't remember their exact last game. But we haven't talked about free agency at all, and I still don't want to look at available players, kind of because the season is not over. But I think we finally talk about the Pacers free agents and free agency.
Yeah, I think at least we can do – I don't know how accurate our contract numbers will be because who knows what the cap is, but we can
– I have strong inklings from people who would know. But, again, nothing is guaranteed.
You never know if a bunch of owners are losing a bunch of money and they just, like, hold out or something crazy. Right?
I think the draft date – by the way, I did the dates show and I was wrong about the draft date. It is now November 18th. But the fact that it got set, like, for sure – is a really good sign for.
Well, it'll buy them what? We probably have four more weeks of the season max, right? Each series goes seven, theoretically.
Yeah.
So that gives them a month between the end of the regular season and the draft to sort of figure out.
The window they have right now is till mid-October to figure that out. Yeah. Because they have to set a window to negotiate.
Well, they could extend that window. I mean, there's right. Things they can do. They'll have a month period to like get their shit together before stuff.
I am thinking because they're killing the TV ratings when they don't compete with football, still that it will be fine. But regardless,
I don't know. Fan revenue is a lot, man. I mean, you can't underestimate that. But
I know. I believe that they will lock in the numbers with higher tax, same cap.
I tend to think you're probably right, just because I mean, the question is how do they figure out the smoothing and does it change if the comes back faster than what they think? I mean,
right.
They have fans by mid next season. The cap might not need to be at a flat rate for you know what I mean.
Yeah. Years. Yes. So. Yes, I don't think it will go up very much until a couple years out, just to make up for the lost revenue from this.
Right. I mean, though.
Either way.
I know it's probably super boring, most people, but like,
I'm going to say, we need to talk about the actual basketball.
No, I think the thought is right. If let's say like each team splits whatever in the cap terms, it ends up being like 80 million of the cap is TV and 40 million is, or this year was 111, right? So it's like 70 and 40 million is tickets, which seems about what tickets and stuff like that. That 40 million, let's say they lose it all next year, it could be split up in 10 million over 4 years to keep the cap where it's at instead of raise, because it's going to raise probably 5 or 10 million a year. So instead of raising it, it just kind of flattens out, or maybe a little dip, but not a ton.
Yeah. And Bobby Marks is projecting it stays the same at ESPN. Eric Pincus at Basketball Insiders and Bleacher Report, same thing. So,
well, and I wonder if they do a 1 year thing, see what in a year and redo again, right? Because it's kind of a month by month kind of thing with this pandemic. But
so,
anyway, I digress.
This is necessary kind of for mid level guys, but I don't even know if we necessarily need to know it to talk about what we want to talk about. And the first segment is going to be the most important free agent for the Pacers, Justin Holiday, because, I mean, obviously these discussions will cater to should the Pacers keep the guy, but I'm not necessarily sure the cap for any of the Pacers players who are departing actually matters, because the Pacers are over it no matter what, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you take all their cap holds, they're –
even just guaranteed salaries, I think they're over. They're like 120.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're about three over the cap, and then they got 12. So, based on what they thought it'd be next year, if it's $139 million threshold, they'd have about $12 million in luxury tax space, I guess.
Yep, that's what I have.
That's about what a mid-level guy costs.
So, right. So that's where the place to start with Justin Holliday is, you know, for me, the whole season for him, we were talking about how he's played himself into the full mid-level, which is going to make him hard to keep for the Pacers to me. I mean, they obviously are going to try, and they have the full mid-level too. But just because every team has that and the tax is going up, like, the spending power of teams that might go for Justin Holliday is pretty high. So it could be hard to keep him because of that. However, the Pacers have legitimately no reason to just let him walk without offering it. But, going into the bubble, we talked about all season how we thought he was worth that. It was like, okay, can he maintain this in the playoffs and down the stretch of the season? Besides that rocky start to the bubble, I mean, he was one of their better playoff players. So I think he'll be in pretty high demand, which is going to make free agency for him and the Pacers very interesting because he's easily the most important player who could be leaving.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the other factor of you could sign and trade him mid-level. Am I right about that?
They cannot use the mid-level to sign and trade him, but they can use his non-bird rights to sign and trade him.
Okay.
That is legal.
Because, I mean, there's that possibility. And the thing about the mid-level, too, they'll offer it to him, but they also can slot. Like, it's not like this thing where if you lose it, you lose the space in a way. Right? I'm trying to think, like, the best example, like, right, if you're over the salary cap and you have a $30 million max player, you're better off re-signing him than just losing him for nothing, right? Because you can't sign another $30 million player. In this instance, you can sign a mid-level guy anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't have to be an internal player. So there is some potential where, like, if they find somebody they think is greener pastures per se out there at a mid-level, they could just let him walk and get somebody else, and it won't be the same kind of loss it would be like if you lose a guy. Like, if they're over the tax, they lose, like, a $20-plus million player for nothing in free agency. That's right. A bigger hit, per se.
So, like, an example for the Thunder, they're over the cap right now, and Danilo Gallinari is a free agent. So he's probably like a $15-20 million player, and they have the rights to sign him for that. But if they don't get him, then they don't have $15 million to sign someone else. They just have the mid-level. So they are sacrificing quality of player if they let him walk. Now they're potentially tanking, so they personally might not necessarily care about that, but it looks like they are. But anyway, that is what Adam means by that. And the Pacers that is not the case with Justin Holliday. They do not have the means to sign him for anything more than the mid-level. So even if he walks, you have the same spending power. The question is, and I think this free agency is interesting, is could you use it on someone better or someone better fitting? And that is where maybe him getting the offer from somewhere else maybe wouldn't kill you because you could use it on someone else. But he's a good fit for it.
Well, right. Is Joe Harris back on the market again this time around?
He is.
Right, and he's somebody the Pacers, I think Bobby Marks said it on one of the podcasts. I want to say it was on Zach Lowe's podcast or Ryan Russillo's. Actually said there was one year with the Pacers, when the McDermott year, it was like Joe Harris was going to go to one team, McDermott was going to go to the other one. The Pacers had basically offered both of them the same deal, and whoever took it first was going to get it.
They went for JJ Redick too. They were bombing out on the shooters.
Yeah. Well, I think I think what somebody said is they went out and they offered 3 for 21. And whoever took it was going to get it. McDermott hopped on it before everybody else.
Right.
The way Marks kind of said it. That's a possibility. I mean, he's the one that jumps out, I guess. I'm kind of going through his list pretty fast.
I need to pull up a list.
We didn't want to necessarily do players who they might go after. With
right.
Holliday, I think the discussion is, will he get a mid-level? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, I think at least
a big portion of it if he doesn't get the full.
Yeah. And the question then is how many years of mid-level does he get, right? So, like, he is, what, 30 this year, right? 31?
Yeah, he just turned 31, I think, yeah.
So the question becomes, do you give him, like, if a team offers him, let's say it's the same mid-level, about $10 million, they offer him 2 for 20 or 2 for 18, do they go out, pays off him 3 for 27? I think we're making a little less cap hit, but a more guaranteed money. Does he take that? Does he want to be here? That's part of the question, I guess.
He turned 31 in April to answer that question perfectly. But, yeah, I think that's an interesting point. It can be up to 4 years. The other thing I want to know with the mid-level, where it relates to Holliday is, and I talked about this when I talked about the draft earlier this week, is they might use, like, a minimum amount of the mid-level so they can sign their second-round picks with a 3-year deal. I mean, it'd be, like, the no guarantees in that contract. But that's just so you get full bird rights and restricted free agency at the end if that player turns out to be good. That's what happened with Jokic and why the Nuggets were able to keep him restricted even though he was a second-round pick. So that's not a terrible idea, and that might make them only want to offer Justin Holliday, like, $8.5 million in the first year, And that's where the extra year might come into play, is if instead of offering the full thing, they go down a little in salary, but up in years and make it more total money, but less per year.
And the other thing, I wonder if he takes some kind of JJ Redick type deal. Now, not that kind of money, because it's way higher, but like, is there a team who's going after free agents, maybe not this summer, but the next summer, like the Heat, for example, who says, we'll give you $15 million to be on our team next year, 1 year. That way it's right. Sort of like it's like a cap hold, essentially. So it's a way to, you know, fill a roster spot, but not lose your future cap space. And does he maybe do a deal like that because maybe the cap will go up the next year, or because, you know, it's a lot of 1 year money. And if he plays another good year next year, and he can go and get 20 the next year after that, so on. So, I mean, there is some of that out there too, potential. I mean, there are a couple teams that are in a situation where they're probably trying to go for big time free agents and don't want to have to commit long term the cap. Maybe we'd give him a big year. I mean, the Pelicans on that list probably as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if JJ resigns there, I mean, that's some of the teams.
This is going to sound critical, but it's not intended to be. But even some cap space teams who are bad, I think with Justin Holiday being a vet who has championship experience, been on multiple playoff teams, and just showed he can be a 3 and D wing, like any team can want him, because a good team with the MLE, or even if they have space and they're good, although I think the only team that will apply to is the Raptors, but even if you're a bad team, he's not good enough that it's going to like make you not tanktastic if you need to be, you know what I mean?
He probably has some value at a trade deadline.
So maybe if you're talking about the Heat situation, my chair is so loud, I can't believe you can't hear that.
I did hear it, actually, frankly.
is if, like, yeah, one of those teams does what you just said with Redick and just, like, here's $12 or $15 million for a year, and then they can easily use Nonbird to sign him for way less the following year or something like that. So because, I mean, his stats were crazy good, and he was easily the best wing defender on the Pacers this year, shot over 40% from three, even after, again, missing everything in the bubble. I mean, his stats aren't awesome, and again, he's a rotation player. He's not like a starting level guy, but he was really good. So I think the competition for his services is going to make it great for him, but a little bit tougher on the Pacers, especially in an economic uncertain time.
I also think you can't underestimate his durability. He played every game in the past, except so he played 82, 72, 82, 73, which is the max this year, was 73 games, I think, or around that number. Like,
yep.
For a team that's just really good, they sometimes nice to have a decent player who is out there every night. You know, if you want to give one of your big stars a rest or whatever, like, it's good to have a guy who's constantly available to play. I mean, that just can be valuable. You see that with like team like the Spurs and the Raptors, right? Having like 12 players is really valuable, because if some night three might be hurt, you can still win a game.
Yeah, definitely. So for his free agency from the Pacers perspective, I'm sure what they'll try to do is just use their non-bird rights and keep him, right, so they still have that full MLE. Now, they probably can't use both unless they find a way to dump salary in a deal, which isn't impossible. And we'll talk about trades very shortly on this podcast, starting next week, I think. But that's a possibility. But I don't know that $5.7 million in the first year is going to be enough unless you basically go all 4 years. Then you maybe have a shot. But I just don't know that that's going to do it.
Yeah. Oddly, do you think not having a first-round pick might be more valuable because the cap space you save, considering how bad this year's draft is?
Maybe. The only reason, and I talked about this again on the draft show 2 days ago, so go listen to that, is you don't need an exception to sign a first-round pick, but you do for a second-round pick, right? So if you draft a first-round guy, you still have your full mid-level. So
okay.
It does add depth for basically like just because you picked a guy. But it is helpful for spending wise because, again, there's a pandemic and they don't have any free agents, so their team's expensive. So yes, it is a good time to not just be adding salary for a guy that isn't going to play given their roster situation.
They keep on winning that trade for Brogdon for sure.
yeah, my gosh, this is such a dumb aside, but all the people at the beginning of the season for the Bucks who were like, yay, they ducked the tax and got this asset they can trade and they don't need Brogdon. Bledsoe's been better. It was nice to know that in the end they did need Malcolm
Brogdon. Well, and what's funny too is what did they the Bucks people basically said, oh, we're willing to spend money now. But like it's almost like we were talking about, or it's almost too late, right? You lost a guy you can't replace because you can't make up his money. Like they could have signed Brogdon and then traded him if they didn't want to pay him and his deal, but instead they lost a $20 million of cap space essentially could have used.
Yep.
Which is a little bit too late, I guess I would say for that.
Well, yeah, they got one more shot basically. But I think with Justin Holiday, it's just going to end up being, this is my final point because we've gone a little long on him, but
yeah,
it's just going to come down to a balance of years and dollars, right? Why does he value more in his older age?
Yeah, he's not that old, man.
Yeah, sorry, that was too mean. But Because again, last year he was hunting for a big deal, never got it. So maybe he'll do that again. But you know, if he gets 2 for 18 or 3 for 22 or 23 or something, what does he decide is worth more to him? And maybe that comes down to like location or even for him family or something like that. But I think that yin and yang of length of deal or total dollars will be very, or dollars per year, excuse me, will be very interesting.
Yeah, and I actually do wonder for a guy who has basically bounced around this league, he's been with, what, 7 teams I'm counting now? Or the 8th?
Yeah, my gosh.
Which is, or the 8th team that he's been on? Or does he maybe value finding a place where he can, like, be for 3 or 4 years instead of just constantly hopping around from city to city, you know? So, I mean, there's that. And then
but I just had a kid, money for the kid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, money will probably
– doing either way.
Money will be the factor, but like I said, it's hard. Do you bet on your 33-year-old self to still be able to get the same amount of money you leave on the table, whether it's $5 or $6 million, or do you just take the cash and then hope maybe you still hit it again at 34 if you're still decent? So
he's clearly the most interesting one, and I guess on a future show we could do like teams most likely to sign the Pacers guys, but he's the most interesting one. The second most interesting one to me is who we'll get to after the break, but I think you should go first here.
Yes, because first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by rockauto.com, a family business serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all your auto and body part needs from hundreds of manufacturers. I recently actually got a new battery in my car. Rockauto.com has great prices for things like that. My battery just kind of kicked it one day, 110,000 miles into my car, so Not too bad, not unexpected, but they have everything you need there on the rockauto.com catalog. It's unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are reliably low, and same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Do You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so the next free agent isn't really a free agent, right, Tony?
Well, semi-free I actually agent. Think no and yes. That's usually the backwards. People usually say yes and no. TJ McConnell is this player, and I didn't think for the longest time, and we've gone over him on the show quite a bit, but I didn't think for the longest time there was any reason to cut TJ McConnell. His contract next year, $3.5 million, $1 million guaranteed, so if they cut him, they could, and they stretch him, they could save over $3 million against the cap and open a roster spot. But $3.5 million is nothing in the current NBA. And McConnell was good when he played this year, although his playoffs were a disaster. And he got totally benched. So that adds a little bit of, you know, in my head. So something I said last segment I want to bring back up is if they can use non-bird rights to keep Justin Holiday – and then use their full mid-level exception, they'll be right up against the tax. And the easiest way to get tax wiggle room and be able to do that, which means you keep your best available free agent, because I would have Justin Holiday over McConnell, and add a substantial contributor, would be to slash McConnell completely and just cut bait with him. Now, I don't know that that's the best move, but I think that now that I have really locked into their money situation, because TJ Warren hit his bonus, Miles Turner's going to hit his bonus, Sabonis hit his big bonus, that slashed off like over $2 million of cap room that it wasn't looking like was going to be a problem last summer. And then the cap not going up at the same time. I mean, all of a sudden you're like, oh man, the Pacers might need to create a little more wiggle room than they thought, or than, you know, than was perceived around the league. And maybe McConnell could become a casualty of that.
You're underestimating one thing. I think that's the fact his $3.5 million can be used in a trade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a very kind of valuable where, like, if you piece some kind of together and you don't get to, like, 27 or 28, you can add him on and get to 30 or so on, right?
I mean,
I think we're kind of missing this whole cap thing is that I would be surprised if the same roster returned next year, like 1 through 9, let's say. I mean, I could, you know.
Wow.
Right? I mean,
I don't know if I'd be surprised.
I would be pretty surprised considering what the comments, since considering the coaching change they're making clearly, and just the comments that were made. I know for real. We haven't talked about it nearly enough, Tony. And considering the comments that were made after it, right? They want to go in a different direction, right? And I don't know necessarily their 1 through 9 can take them in a different direction without changing it just even slightly a little bit. I mean, somewhere it has to change because it's the direction.
That's interesting.
Right? I mean, I don't – like, you can change the coach, but sometimes you can't – like, if you don't change the parts, it doesn't really matter, I guess, sometimes. But maybe – I mean, maybe I may have completely wrong. Maybe somebody can unlock the thing everybody always wanted, but I feel like that's just not possible. But like I said, I would be surprised if we don't have the same 1 through 9. So I don't know if McConnell will be a casualty of being cut. I mean, maybe if they need to make room, like you said, for that mid-level guy somehow, but I have a feeling his casualty is more he's going to be thrown into a trade. But also, I think he's a guy, if you can, you try to keep him because at $9 million, he can provide you 25 minutes off the bench and an occasional injury, 30 minutes, and enough to win a couple games a year against some really crappy teams.
See, I think you'd have to have the perfect cap circumstance of, like, you're getting – if you can keep Justin High, like, and get Gallo or something, then I think you cut him. But I think you'd have to have the perfect, like, free agency period where you need the money to do it, because even – we've talked about this before – even if you don't even think he's going to be in your rotation, right? Even if you're deciding, all right, our backups next year are going to be Aaron Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, Doug McDermott, Justin Holiday, or Goga instead of Justin Holiday, whatever, whatever. You know, here are our backups. TJ McConnell's not one of them. Even at $3.5 million, just to be like a cheerleader vet is good for him, right? He was huge for the chemistry this year. He was great with media. He was great with Aaron Holiday. They always talked about, you know, learning from each other. That's a valuable guy even at such a low amount. So I think it would – I still after adding up all the cap stuff, I think it's more possible than I originally thought that they could slash it. But I think it would take, the perfect grouping of events in a row for the Pacers to really consider it as an option where, oh, my gosh, you know, this is the – that is the absolute easiest way for them to save $3 million against the cap this summer. And $3 million – in a pandemic is no slouching move. Like, that pays for half your coach. So maybe, but I don't know. I just think it's worth more of a discussion than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, but the thing too, remember, he's might be their only true punker on the entire roster.
That is
also, I mean, Brogdon, I would say, has definitely earned that now, but he's on the bench especially. Maybe you decide that you think Sumner and Holiday are ready to kind of take over and do it, but I don't know if I would trust that yet.
Well, with Lamb being healthy too, you have less guard rotation spots.
Yeah, I guess you could go 3 guards and then Justin Holiday if he's back, and then Goga as your bench 5. Well, then McDermott fit. I guess he kind of fits in there. You could just bench one of Holiday or something. So,
and any team at $3.5 million like would be fine to have him on the roster, right? So if he does enter free agency, he'll get another job, like no problem. You know, he's good and helpful. He's probably more valuable to a team originally that he was on, like Philly, that's building up and where he can be event like at your peak, the 10 minutes in the playoffs guy, like we saw this year. Not very effective in the playoffs. I was wrong about that. But I still think he would have value to the Pacers. And if I was a betting man, I would be willing to wager quite a bit that he would be on the roster next year. But I think there's a reason that he could not be. So I think his free agency became more interesting. Like, originally, when we look at the Pacers' summer for the free agents, we just talked about the 3 guys, the 2 in the next segment will be Jakar and Alize and Justin Holiday. But I think TJ McConnell's situation has worked its way into these conversations.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. I guess, to me, I don't see a reason. I need a reason to move him or a reason to get rid of him unless it's like dire straits. And if they raise the luxury tax, that might give them enough breather to keep him. And there's also that possibility, right? If they decide to maybe go above – because usually it's what, like 20 million or 20% above whatever the cap is. Maybe they make it 25 because of the weird circumstances this year. That would give enough breathing room. Like, I just.
What I have been hearing, the estimations people are using are 139 million for the tax. So 30 mil above the cap for next year.
So was it 129 this year?
This year, yes, correct. It was 132.
Right. It's 20. Usually it's 20%. It's 20% of the cap is whatever the. Like 120% of it, that's usually what you get luxury tax. So, I mean, there's that possibility. And how will that factor into a mid-level, right? Will that be when mid-level cuts off, or will they weirdly make it where it would normally cut off but then give it the luxury tax space just for teams in general? I mean, there's just a lot of interesting factors in there. But I just don't see – I mean, to me, you bring him back because he, at $3.5 million, provides you more value than he does not having him, I guess, right? He's the best bang for your buck at that.
For sure. Value. Oh, yeah. Again, I think it's overwhelmingly likely that he is back. But I did not – there are more reasons to me now than before that they could get rid of him. And I think that discussion's worth having. Although I think most people would agree with, you know, your heavily stanced point that there's just no way. There's no reason.
Well, and to me, even if he is not a playoff player, which he wasn't this year, and I don't know if it's a bonus, maybe he would have been because they fit a little better.
Yeah.
He's the guy that wins you a couple games, and that's kind of important. I mean, that's important. Like, especially if they want to be a top three seed, there's all, you just need these bench guys who can play when guys get hurt. Like, I'm pretty sure McConnell probably played 70 plus games this year. I mean, probably in the 68 to 70 range, because only there's 73 games. Like, he played every night. I mean, he was healthy. Right. So like, you just need guys like that. I mean, there was a night, there was a point where like, didn't Broughton get hurt? Lamb was hurt. Obviously Oladipo was hurt, and like, he ended up starting, and he was like also hurt, but he ended up playing through it, and they won a game. Like, he just, you need kind of guys like that at some point on your right. roster. And maybe they think they have in Holiday and Sumner, but I don't, you couldn't hurt to have all three, to be honest. Like, it's not a you know, you have the roster space at least.
Yeah. So. But I think that one, more nuance, who the coach is and if they're thinking about trading, will be necessary to fully contextualize if he'll be moved, but I extremely doubt it, but I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah. All right, you want to take another break, and then we'll do the last two free agents
for the pair? Yeah, the easiest two to talk about, yep.
Okay, but first, let's talk about another one of our great sponsors on the Locked On Blazers podcast, and that is Built Bar. We talked about it a ton of times here. I mean, if you don't know that we like Built Bars, then you're clearly not listening to this podcast very often. They have now 18 amazing flavors. They've got everything. You know, I always say my favorite one is the peanut butter chocolate brownie, but they've got all these kind of new flavors, cookies and creams, cherry carrot cake, apple, almond crisp, all kinds of things like that. And they are a great way if you're trying to, you know, lose weight or maintain or bulk up. They're low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. My favorite one, like I said, the peanut butter protein one is 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get $10 off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. So the last two free agents for the Pacers, I would guess, well, so they're Alex Johnson and Jakarr Sampson. And if I had to guess, they're probably both not coming back. Am I wrong, Tony?
Wow. Okay. Let's start with Jakarr, because I have scarcely been more confident that like an end of rotation guy is an NBA quality player than Jakarr Sampson. He was very good for the Pacers this year and even made the playoff rotation as a backup center. Took an injury, but he still did a good job. Now, their means of maintaining him or keeping him is just basically the minimum, or like the minimum plus 120%, which is hardly an advantage over other teams. But I don't know why you wouldn't just give it back. I don't know why you wouldn't offer him the minimum again. Why not?
So
who are you getting for the minimum that, if he's willing to accept the same role too, of just like, you'll only play when there's injuries, like I would 100% offer him the minimum, because I don't know who you're getting that's better than that.
Well, so the question is, they take a second round pick that they need a roster spot for, that just talented returns that gets into
that. Talk about that in a second. Who that
guy, right? I believe that gets them to 15 roster spots. Am I wrong? One.
If they keep Justin Jakarr, then they would have one roster spot if they,
right, you know, for the second round pick. Right. And so I think the other thing is, frankly, I don't think you're going to – I mean, I think there's probably – you probably don't want a center in that spot at this point. I mean,
It
depends who shakes up at the two center, if there's two centers on this team, right? Because Goga's going to – I'm going to play him a lot more next year. I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't. I mean, that's sort of the point, right? And I think you would rather have – and maybe you can play Jakarr at the three or four, but he's not really a shooter, so I'm not really sure you can get away with that the way you could at the five. But I think you probably want more of a, like – small forward kind of like guy, right? One of those more as you're like 15.
But every small forward for the minimum is bad.
Yeah,
he's like a bad player.
But I mean, we thought Jakarr was a bad player, didn't we, coming in? I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
There's something where like you think, and maybe it's just hubris, but you think in there's with a system that you can make a guy better-ish or make him playable in moments because you can put him in the right situation, right? I mean, I think the issue with Jakarr is he just doesn't shoot the three, and that really sort of limits him, right? If he was a three-point shooter, I'd be like, of course, bring him back. He'd probably be making more money than he makes currently.
Like $10 million a year if he could shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if he could just like make a three at like a 30% clip, he'd probably be back on this roster. I mean, I'm not talking about like crazy good, but I just think you need, like I said, if you only have two centers, or maybe you need to go, if you get rid of one center, you need a more traditional center, right? I mean, that's something they could have used, right? Maybe a Kyle Quinn type is your last guy because you don't have a Barton and turn together, right? So there's some of that there where I could, it really depends how that shakes up, because I just don't think at his current spot he's okay, I guess, but if you get a could you get a second round pick? Could you find a guy that maybe just fits a tiny bit better for the same price?
If you're strictly looking at centers, there's a million centers available all the time.
Every year there is, Tony. I mean, yeah, so I don't know the names, but
then
I'm sure.
I probably would not go with Jakar. I think because he can play, I mean, like I would never want to play him at the three, but like if you need him for 5 to 10 minutes in a game at the three, whatever. And because he can play 3, 4, 5 with like medium success and tries really damn hard on defense to the point that he can play in the playoffs adequately. Like,
and did he though? I'm not sure he played in the playoffs. I mean, he was okay.
Yeah. I think he was maybe their best bench player in the playoffs. I have to think about that. I mean, their bench was garbage. Was
yeah.
The bar is very low for being the best Pacers bench player in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, I guess to me, I feel there's the opportunity cost, right? Is there something better at the rim? Maybe I'm kind of being foolish.
Yeah, for the minimum, not really. If they use the non-bird, it's a little bit of money is the opportunity cost. And I think we didn't really talk about this with McConnell. We did with Justin Holiday, but like McConnell's going to have other – I guess we kind of brought it up. Any team would want him. I think same with Jakar, though. That's another reason I think that he could maybe leave the Pacers is this year, and I think because he played well in the playoffs, he kind of established that any team can use what he does, you know. So even if it is another contending team or a bad team, right, he fits this Justin Holiday mold, although he's much worse of like he's good enough to help your building team have moments and be good for stints, but also isn't good enough that he's going to make you too good to tank or anything like that. So he could really be on any team next year for like $2 to $3 million, and I think he can get that money. Because he played well. So that is where the Pacers don't have any advantages. It's not like they're going to break the bank to keep him. But
wait, I mean, what is the minimum next year? Just so.
For him, I think it's like $1.8 million.
Okay, so they got from, 100% of his current salary? They got from a few million probably,
yeah,
right?
They have non-bird rights. They can offer him like 2 point something.
Okay. Because he'll probably go where the money is. I mean, that's what he'll do. I mean, that's what these back bench players use. They go wherever the highest paid team is at the time. But I do wonder, too, like, part of being a good GM in front of us is you're constantly scouting these backbench guys, right? And kind of thinking next year who you want to add. Cause like I think there's something good about just like bringing in fresh bodies, I guess, if it makes sense, right? Like they had Trevor Booker 1 year, you know, they had, I think it was Kyle Quinn 1 year. I mean, like it's just kind of good to get in like a new perspective, new person, especially for a guy who's 9 times out of 10 not going to play unless your entire roster injured, like the Pacers kind of were or at least like their entire center.
He did have a lot of injuries this year. That is skewing the value of Jakar Sampson.
Right. Like if they didn't have, if Gogo wasn't hurt or like, cause next year, the only way he'd break minutes is if Goga and let's say one of the two centers gets hurt, right? If that's his spot, or like we're talking about again, injuries to Lamb, Warren, Oladipo, Brogdon levels kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's like,
I have a bad thesis for Jakar's free agency, but I think that whoever newsbreaker breaks his contract with whatever team, so long as it's like $2.5 million range, I'll kind of just shrug and be like, yep, makes sense. You know what I mean? Like even if it's the Pacers, like, okay, whatever. Yeah, unless it's like 4 years or something ridiculous. But
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's Peck. I'm just not sure. It's necessarily like,
right. No, I agree.
Imperative, I guess.
Same with the next guy. Very, very similar situations, albeit less technical freedom for Alzay Johnson. If he's back, okay. You know what? He, you know that he did the thing in that bubble JV game they always have every year. I mean, not always in the bubble, but they always have the last game of the JV game when they've locked up their spot. Looked awesome. Got that double-double. Does that in the G League all the time. Can't shoot. On defense. Can't really dribble, right? So, like, it's kind of just a roster spot. But he does have potential, right? And so unless you like – maybe you like him more than your second-round pick. Maybe you stash your second and keep him for a year. I don't know. But he could be a restricted free agent. And if they really want to keep him, they have every mean in the world to do so. So same kind of deal to me. If he gets like – I mean, he's not a $2.5 million player. If Alzay Johnson gets the minimum for any team in the league, even if the Pacers do or don't offer him a qualifying offer, pick, okay, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't showed anything – enough, at least the past.
No. I mean, he's good for a 50th pick, but that's not a high bar.
Right, so if they'll have – so if they take the second-round pick and they re-sign somebody in the Holiday spot, that puts them at 14, so they only have one spot left, right? So they're picking for basically whether they want to either bring a Jakar back, an Alizé back, or somebody else, right? And I just think Alizé on a list of that is below Jakar, so I don't – I mean, there have to be nobody. I mean, they really have nobody they want else out there. Because he can't even – at least Jakar cracks the rotation at times. Alzay is not even in that position.
So the reason you would, to me, you'd think about keeping Alize over Jakar is like, if Alize can give you 90% and be youth and be a restricted free agent after next year too.
Has he shown you any of those things except for the last one?
No, not really.
Well, he'll be
he is a like great rebounder right now, but that's literally all he could do at the NBA level. So you have a point, but yeah, he's worse. You're right. I don't think there really is a valid reason.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and like I said, just there's value in just constantly, like, I'm thinking Glenn Robinson, right? Didn't he sort of, he was just brought in probably in the same position as Jakar-ish, maybe a little bit higher, maybe considered more
a little higher, yeah,
than a 13 to 14 guy. But, like, there's value in just sort of cycling in, let's see, lost second-round picks. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think, like, Hassan Whiteside was in that point at one point. I mean, that, there's just value in constantly doing that because maybe, just maybe, one of these guys who's been flying around has finally got his shit together and is ready to be a good player. And then you can, like, all of a sudden, if you hit a guy like that, at that cap level, it's like the lottery ticket pretty much.
Yeah. Right? I do wonder with Alize, if he's shown enough to have more value to the team than the 54th pick alone, because if not, he's screwed. He has no chance of returning to the Pacers because
yeah, that's
good. They'll just pick a guy basically who will be cheaper and younger and be like, okay, here's our new youth guy. So then he has no shot. If they do believe in his potential enough to keep him over that guy, then maybe they'd draft the Euro guy, which is something I didn't really talk about in my draft preview earlier the week. Maybe they'll just draft the Euro guy who they don't think will come over for a year and just be like, okay, Alize, you got one more year to prove it, something like that. But
if they also draft a guy and cut him and not use him.
Yeah, that's totally possible.
They don't want
to they don't even have to sign him at all. They could just, you know, bring him into camp on a guaranteed deal and cut him. But
yeah, so.
And they did with Sumner, remember, they gave a second round. I mean, he was hurt. This is totally different circumstances. But they gave him a two-way deal. And there have been some second round picks. Alec Peters got picked by the Suns with the 54th Pacers pick in 2017 and got a two-way deal, right? So it's not unheard of that they'll just give a two-way to whoever they draft.
Yeah, that's very fair.
That could help Alize too. He also himself is eligible for a two-way, though I don't think we've seen it in the NBA where a team has signed a guy to a full – actually, maybe Nazemi Trulon, never mind – has signed a guy to a full contract and then a two-way after that. So I don't know. But
– If I'm Alize, I would – sorry.
You said Alize for so long. So.
I know. If I was Alize, I would want to go to a team that like I have a shot at cracking a 9-minute rotation, right? Or 10-minute rotation, right? Like terrible team where I compete in training camp and maybe have a shot.
Is there a better player to clean up Trae Young's misses than Alize Johnson?
Well, I mean, Atlanta always comes to mind. Atlanta.
Yeah. Young has tons of money to burn. Because yeah, like if the Hawks offer him a half guaranteed deal to come to training camp, I think he would take it.
Because I mean, at this rate, he's ending up playing in Europe and whenever they reason basketball.
Oh, or. Well, right. He could be a G League MVP even. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying that's like the trajectory he's on is heading for that. Where like I would want to try to see if I can maybe be a 10th guy on a rotation and more like a Jakar player than like a, I don't know, Joe Young player. Right. That's kind of a fair.
Right. I share your thoughts there. So of the guys we talked about, Adam, rank them from most likely to least likely to be back next year.
McConnell 1 to be back, Holiday 2, Jakar 3, Johnson 4.
That is my exact order.
Because I don't like the only McConnell's not back is if they like trade him. Essentially, I think.
I think if they can like get the perfect guy for the full mid level and keep Justin Holiday, I think there's a small chance they would just be.
I don't know. Is Joe Harris a perfect guy? Is he not going to return where he's at?
I think Joe Harris would be
the okay.
Guy actually,
like
that kind of
Moore's out there.
If Gallo cannot get the offer anywhere.
I mean,
he just takes a 1 year.
Etuan Moore is out there. He's former.
He's not good enough to be.
I know. He's a Ishik. He's from Indiana.
He is from Indiana. That does. He's from Chicago. Technically, really? Yeah. Technically Indiana, I guess.
He did beat my North Shore Panthers in the title game 12, 13 years ago.
If Otto Porter opts out, I would call him the perfect guy. Although, if he opts out of 20, whatever, 1,000 million.
Is Solomon Hill at all good anymore?
No. Done. Good talk.
Could they reinvent him again after he almost done.
He didn't even reinvent him. He just shot really well for one series.
Does anybody have a better or like a more like unbelievable career arc? I mean, he was literally after his third season probably going to be out of this league. And then he hits this amazing run at exactly the right moment. Like I would say, it's like extremely lucky, and he gets a huge contract. I mean, he'll make more money than Justin Holiday will make, and Justin Holiday's put up way more good seasons than Solomon Hill.
It's a championship. Yeah.
insane what happens there.
Dude, that whole Pacers team, right? Mahinmi finally learned how to play defense for a whole season, and he'll hit threes for one playoff series. And they're like, all right, you two combined can have 130 million. And that makes sense.
So that summer was like, I was working at 1070 that summer, just like, I don't know, I was like an intern
there. Jeremy Grant is another perfect mid-level.
Yeah. And I remember all those signings, and I remember one, I don't remember what one of the hosts was like, thought, our team's drunk. I mean, we watched Jan McKinney on the hill play, like, neither of these guys worth $50 million.
It was confusing because at first everyone was like, oh, okay, that's just the new market. And then 2 years later, everyone's like, wow, no, it wasn't.
Remember when all those guys signed for like 3 years, got to tap back into the cap spike, and they all, like, I don't know who that worked for.
No,
right? I mean,
it didn't work for anyone.
Right? The big name one was Greg Monroe, who tried that, who could have got 5 years, 80, and probably took three.
He's in China now.
For 45, right? I mean, there were guys, like, I think Kawhi took his full max that year, and it worked out, right? I mean, there were guys who took their full max, and there's like, give me the $90 million and move on, instead of doing the two-for-one thing. Like, LeBron might be the only one who made that work for, I guess. LeBron's been doing a lot of one-on-ones forever, but that's because he's the best player on the planet, so that helps.
The list of the perfect mid-level guys is not very long. I think Joe Harris and Gallinari is worth more than mid-level. I got to stop saying his name.
With DJ,
Jimmy Grant, Joe Harris might be the whole list. We'll talk more specifics on free agents.
Would you want DJ Augustine? Maybe.
No,
he's been good. I thought, but I don't know if you need a point
every other year.
Yeah, but it might be that year.
He might get the one. I guess
it might be the year.
Jay Crowder in the playoffs is looking like it, but
right. How much money does Jalen get, you think?
I don't wish that evil on any basketball team.
He's been really good though.
Look, I get it. There are very few players in the NBA I actively just dislike. It makes me a terrible person to do this. Kelly Olynyk is one of them. Matthew Dellavedova is another one.
I'm trying to think who I dislike a lot.
Just rats. They're just rats. I'm being over the top. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm trying to think who I get frustrated at, like, guys like Butler and Harden who draw those freaking fouls, but like, I won't beat them. I don't dislike
at least
them.
They're good.
Yeah,
like, I don't mind it as much with Draymond because he's good. I'm like, okay, you're just a runt.
Like Smart gets on my nerves too, but he's also pretty good.
Yeah, he's good. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. All right. We've moved on with this podcast.
When we know the podcast is coming to an end, is when we talk about some.
Yeah. Well, we could start doing some more looser.
Oh, podcasts. Oh, Marcus Morris. That'd be another perfect one.
Oh, that was. I don't know. I really don't like the Morris brothers very much.
Okay. Never mind.
I don't mind them. I just kind of annoy. I think they think they're better than they are. Is my problem.
Marcus is good. Marquis thinks he's good, and he's not good.
Which one plays for what? For the Clippers?
Marcus plays for the Clippers. He's the good one.
Well, he was not great.
Well, he had a good first round. Sorry.
Yeah, not great in the last series. At least the end of it.
Not great. Yeah, part of the reason.
He's the one who ticked off Millsap and got Millsap basically like on like Death Star mode.
Millsap would have been before the playoffs. He has not been good. The Nuggets have been awesome in spite of him. But yeah, that's true. This list is not as long as I thought. So, I'm going to increase my odds on McConnell from 99 to 99.5.
Okay. And on that, we will end this podcast. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at TeastNBA, me at FreeMadam5. We will bring you another show this week, so look forward to that one. We'll talk to you guys next.